You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask a Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and this is episode 702. Thanks guys for hanging out with us. Glad you're with us. Glad you're choosing to spend a few minutes of your day with us. Always appreciate it.
Yes, and thank you for those reviews on iTunes. Definitely appreciate it. And if you would take a second, if you haven't left a review, please leave us one. We would greatly appreciate it. And if you want to support this podcast, you know, I've heard NPR Rob say that it's listener supported. Well, we're listener supported too, just in a different way. So if you want to check out our education or give the gift of our education, you can do that as well. In fact, if you go to sign up as a member, look for the small print that says annual membership, because you actually save some money on that, and you can give that to one of your family members, you can give that to your wife, or you can just pull Rob and give it to yourself. Right, Rob?
Absolutely. I gotta get a drone first.
Speaking of which, you know what? That's what I forgot. I forgot to buy that new drone.
Oh, nice.
Amazon.com.
Pardon us for 1 minute.
Excuse me, gotta buy a drone. Anyway, also a very special thank you to our friends at Energen. If you go to myenergen.com/shop, you can get a portable battery for your Phantom, your Mavic, or if you're flying a unique Typhoon H or a Typhoon H520. Then you can use these portable battery chargers to charge your batteries in the field. You can actually charge up to 4 at one time, and they're super handy and useful if you're in an area where you can't actually charge. Now, for me, when I'm flying ranches, it's a perfect example because I have to leave my truck behind and I have no way to plug in an inverter or anything like that. So these are really helpful for me. And even when I'm flying stadiums, oftentimes the outlets are 200-300 yards. And just taking the time to walk batteries up and down those flights of seats takes too much time and would not allow us to finish our job in the allotted window that we normally get at stadiums, which is only about 4 hours. So
yeah, it's always a tight window.
It
funny
is
how that works.
It is. But anyway, go to myenergen.com/shop. And if you want the A40, which is the one that I use, I love it. And Paul Nordine won one by going to the subject tracking class. Just use discount code DRONEUA40 and you'll save $50. If you want a P40, use DRONEUP40 as a discount code and you'll save $30 off. Or if you want to be a slacker and just get the M10, use discount code DRONEUM10.
Just out of curiosity, why would that be a slacker?
It's just not a full-blown battery. It's like if you shoot for the minimum in life and you just realize that success doesn't come that way. I just go all out.
I apologize.
Just saying, shoot for the stars or don't shoot at all.
All right,
fair
enough.
Small, miss small.
How about a question?
Okay, let's.
No, you're not ready for the question.
No, I was just trying to explain the aim small, miss small. It's a lacrosse term.
Yeah.
Because you're always trying to aim for the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aim really small, you normally miss really small. But if you want to hit the intense, super awesome shots, that's how you learn to do it.
Yeah, because you don't shoot. It's like same with soccer, right? You don't want to shoot right at the goalie, right in the middle of the goal.
That's where I actually aim for every time. No,
really?
I'm kidding. No. In lacrosse, actually, you want to go off stick side, low, like between the hips.
Between the hips.
Not between the hips, between his hips and his ribs. Because it's the longest reaction time to go from his stick side to off stick
side. It's like in baseball, when you cross somebody up, that's where the ball is. It's like right in there.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's harder to catch there.
Oh.
Harder to block there is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on that note.
Sports analytics by Robin Paul.
That's right. Here's a question.
Hey guys, my name is Devin. I'm based in the Catskills here in New York, where I'm starting my drone business. Thanks to Part 107 and a lot of the great information that you guys have been able to provide there at the Drone U. So thank you. I've been flying for about 2 years now. I'm a proficient pilot, but want to have better emergency procedures in case of a system failure. I have a Phantom 4. I'm familiar with the return to home function, as well as being able to use a spiral descent to bring the aircraft down in case of emergency. And I know how to use the motor shutdown. Thankfully, I haven't had to use that yet. But what do you do specifically in case of a failure, or how do you ensure you are mitigating these risks say, even if just needed to explain to a client or insurance or an investigator. Thanks for your time. Look forward to hearing more from you guys.
Thank you, Devin. Appreciate it. Guys, if you have a question, go to astronew.com, just like Devin did. Get it in. We'd love to get you on the air as soon as possible.
Yeah, and if
emergency
you wanna,
procedures.
If
go
you
ahead.
Want to take your skills up to the next level, just become a member of DroneU.
Even better.
Get a lot of these questions answered real, real fast in the
Absolutely.
Community. But
yeah.
Emergency procedures, he brings up a good point. Tornado pattern. There's another drill that we talk about in the flight over water class, another thing included with membership. We talk about battery, essentially emergency maneuvers, but it's kind of preventative emergency. We talk about battery tests and mm-hmm. how to do them in flight when you first take off. I think those are really important because you've got to know voltage levels, because a lot of issues can come with batteries, bad ESCs, bad motors. Bird comes in for a little touch and go. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have that problem, run into a tree. By the way, if you hit a tree and you don't crash, do not keep flying, because if the prop becomes unbalanced, you should come down. So that could be an emergency maneuver right there. Like if I accidentally hit a tree, but I don't crash, and you could have all of these written down. Maybe this is another funnel we could add to that massive mind map that's on the door over there.
That's all we need.
Anyway, well, actually I thought of another one the other day. So, but my point is if you had your emergency maneuvers written out, I think that would be really helpful to just hand them and show them. The emergency maneuver of the tornado pattern is great. Removing blades after you hit, say, a tree, a bush, something, but you don't crash and you immediately come down and change out your props. I think that's going to show really well. Another emergency maneuver that you should be comfortable with is if you're losing control of your drone for whatever reason, you should be 100% comfortable with running it into a tree or running it into some shrubbery away from people. I think that's really important. I think it's also really important to look out for other landing areas if you can't bring it back to you in time. I think that's also really important. Mm-hmm. Other emergency maneuvers. Let's see. So he talked about CSC, turning off the motors if he had to. I wouldn't recommend that, but...
Because you're just going to lose the drone if you do that, obviously, right?
I mean, yeah.
It's dropping out of the sky.
I mean, if you fly it into a tree, especially fly it into a tree in reverse, that way you have more protection for the gimbal. That really helps out. You know, you're probably not going to lose the drone. You probably lose a few props. You may have a crack here or there, but you're still going to be able to use the drone.
Might have to call the fireman to get the drone down.
Yeah. I wonder if they still get kitties out of the trees.
I wonder. I bet they do. Have you ever had a client ask you, so Paul, you're coming out here to our site. I don't know. Maybe it's a construction site. Maybe it's a dealership, whatever. Do you have emergency procedures in place just in case? Has anybody ever asked you that?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
No. Another thing, like, guys, it's so important to learn how to fly in attitude mode. And I talk about this so much. But if you have any GPS interference, what is your emergency procedure to still bring the drone back home? Because you can't use return to home if you're having a GPS issue. If you're flying in a congested Wi-Fi area, how are you going to have an issue there? Like, you know, there's just a lot that really goes into it. So a lot that goes into it.
So flip that switch is what you're saying?
Yeah, you got to flip that switch and learn how to fly in attitude mode. You've got to also learn to determine the orientation if you lose the video transmission for whatever reason. So you've got to understand the pitch maneuver, which essentially you just pitch forward to see which way the drone is moving. Mm-hmm. And if it looks like it's not moving at all, it's moving away from you.
Right. Well, this also makes me think of why it's so important to follow the rules of flight in general, the 107 rules. I mean, those are there for safety reasons.
That's
for
true.
For emergency purposes, oftentimes. That's why you don't fly over people, for example, because
mm-hmm.
emergencies happen.
Yeah.
Things happen, and so you avoid that stuff the way you're supposed to.
Yeah, but I think just a quick recap, if you have any issue, tornado pattern to bring it down because the loss of battery is really important. If you're having an issue with a prop, it becomes unbalanced. You have to have multiple areas that you're willing to bring the drone down into a tree, into a bush. You've got to have multiple landing areas. I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. If you have any GPS interference issues, you got to know how to fly in attitude mode. Other things that you can do is the battery test. I think that's really important. That's right on takeoff. You can learn how to do that in our flight over water class. Really important. I feel like I'm turning into Trump. It's really important. It's going to make America great again. But anyway, yeah. So I think that's it. I mean, I'm sure that we could go levels and levels deeper, but I mean, that really covers it. So emergency procedures, if you're flying a gear with landing gear, You put the gear down no matter what. If you're crashing in an Inspire, you should always just flick the gear down. That's the first thing you should do. Mm-hmm. If you realize that you're crashing, flick the gear down.
I think one of the best things you can do, it's always in the planning, right? It's mm-hmm. doing a lot of practicing, flying as much as you possibly can so that you're comfortable with, say, attitude mode. When that, that need arises, it's just boom, boom. You don't even have to think about it.
True.
Because of how much you've flown. So a lot of the emergency procedures preparedness is everything that you've done prior to being in that situation.
True.
And it's your pre-flight checklist. It's all those kinds of things. You're doing that so that you avoid the emergency situations.
It's preventative instead of reactive. You know, I know he's asking about reactive, but
I agree. We're not saying you're not doing that, but
I agree though that preventative maintenance, preventative planning is key to mitigating emergencies. I mean, I'm sure the FAA would like to hear too, like, you know, there's the decision-making model and understanding to, as the going back to the part 107, understanding hazardous attitudes. I think that's really important. Understanding hazardous, you know, risk and risk avoidance and things you should do and things you shouldn't do.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Which again, that doesn't happen automatically. That happens from being prepared, practicing, all that good stuff.
Shaving your head before you go.
If at all possible, I would. Because you don't want the wind to blow the hair in your eyes.
That is true. Safety precautions 101 with the balds.
Yeah, I'm not really bald. I just don't want the hair in my eyes when I'm flying.
Would you look like Einstein if you let your hair grow out on the side? I'm just asking.
I know you're just asking. I just don't think they want to know.
I want to know. Anyway, on that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.